Back here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking you until 11 o'clock today. Let's head to Houston. Let's talk to John McClain, the legend. GallerySports.com, 610 Sports Radio, who joins us now. John, how the heck are you?
I'm great. Happy New Year, you guys.
Happy New Year to you as well. And look, you know, obviously we've been talking a lot over the last couple of days about DeMar Hamlin and just that frightening sight from Monday night. And you've covered the league, been around a long time, and I don't know if you've ever seen anything any close to that. I know Derek Mason on our midday show yesterday was talking about, you know, playing in his career and, you know, guys going through different situations. But to me, we've never seen anything like that before. And the good news is DeMar Hamlin's showing some signs of progress as they're reporting earlier today that, you know, they're not having to give him as much oxygen. He's still sedated, but just a scary situation Monday night, John.
I have never seen anything like that specifically. I saw Gary Kubiak collapse on the sideline, have a stroke. They saved his life on the sideline. I remember when Derek Stingley was hit by Jack Tatum and paralyzed for life, his heart stopped, and they had to three different times his heart stopped, and they had to get it started again. And in 1971, I was in high school, and Chuck Hughes of the Lions, a wide receiver, he died of a heart attack on the field, only player to ever die on the field. And as soon as I heard Jack Buck say they were performing CPR, first thing I thought about was Chuck Hughes. And it's amazing, back then, they took him off the field, took him to the hospital, and continued to play the game. NBC tracked down his wife yesterday, and she was watching the game. And she said she stayed awake as long as she could. She's 77, and she talked about the difference in what her husband was up against compared to Hamlin. She said the medical technology and what they knew back then was like the Stone Age compared to what they have today. I think if you're going to have a heart attack or cardiac arrest, and it's not going to be in a hospital, the best place you can have it would be in an NFL game. The NFL pointed out yesterday how every team has at least 20 different medical personnel who are trained in everything that could possibly come up. They have an emergency response. They practice and hoping it never has to be initiated, but it does, and it did in that game, of course. And it's amazing, and he's going to be really – really happy when he comes out of it and sees how they were on the field within 30 seconds and how they brought him back to life. You know, they had to get him back to life at least twice that we know of. And then they had him in the ambulance. And fortunately, the University of Cincinnati Medical Center is very close to the stadium. So there have been others. I saw on the internet, a hockey player got hit in the chest with a puck,
yep,
skated a little bit and collapsed. And then I saw soccer where they had to perform CPR for 70 minutes on the field, and he survived. So hopefully Hammond will survive. And when he wakes up and his mama says, "Honey, you know that $2,500 you wanted to raise for children's toys? Well, right now it's up to no tell what it'll be. It's up to 6.5, I think I saw this morning." And hopefully he'll recover, lead a normal life, and everything will end up being okay.
Yeah, no, absolutely. John McClain is with us, GallerySports.com, 610 Sports Radio in Houston. The NFL, and I think you agree with me, the NFL did the right thing by postponing the game. They're not going to resume it this week. The Bills and the Bengals are doing walkthroughs and meetings, but that's really about it. I feel like that it's such a small problem of figuring out the seeding and figuring out, you know, the schedule, but it is obviously something they're going to address at some point. But where do you think the NFL is at right now in trying to figure all this stuff out?
first thing, Roger Goodell will consult with the teams. He'll especially consult with the Bills. Do the Bills want to play that game? They could still get the top seed. That's what you play for in a season. The easy thing would just be to declare no contest, like they never played. Well, that would knock the Bills out if the Chiefs beat the Raiders, which, of course, they should. And that would give the Chiefs home field advantage. And that game was a really not just a great game on Monday night, but a really big game on Monday night, because the Bills, the Bengals, both had a chance to get home field advantage. You know, if they declared a no contest, nobody's going to complain except some fans. And then there's several things they can do. They have the bye week between the championship games and the Super Bowl. They have played Super Bowls without that bye week before. Players and coaches always like to play and get right back into it. The reason they have the bye week originally was to hype the Super Bowl. Well, of course, they don't need to do that anymore. And they could play this weekend and then on wild card weekend have Buffalo and Cincinnati. Pick it up where it left off. Just move everything back a weekend. And then there's other things about playing AFC playoffs, NFC playoffs on different weekends. To me, it's best like 9/11. Just move everything back a week if you have to, and let those two teams play unless both of them agree. Go ahead and call it a no contest.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking to John McClain. So moving into you know, this weekend with the Titans and the Jags fighting for the AFC South, you know, one thing that we've talked about today is no matter what happens Saturday night, the Titans have a lot of work to do this offseason. They have to address their offensive line. They have to address the offense. I mean, the defense, you got to sign Jeffrey Simmons, do some things there, but it's really the offense. And, oh, by the way, they have to go hire a general manager. A name that I have, you know, kind of thought of and heard is Rick Smith, the former Texans general manager. Do you think that he'd be a good fit? And what do you remember about his relationship with Mike Vrabel during their time together there?
Rick Smith did a very good job here as the general manager. He came in 2006 when Gary Kubiak was hired. They've been real good friends at Denver. And if you go back and look at Rick's first-round draft choices, most teams blow first-round picks. He only blew one. And he still got them playing all over the NFL. And he missed on second and thirds and hit on fours, but he made some great picks. And he listened to Gary Kubiak, who had a big say in it. And so I think Rick would be terrific. He's very respected by the NFL, served on the competition committee for years. He's interviewed for a couple of jobs he didn't get. I was really surprised about it, but if I'm Amy Adams Strunk, he is one of the candidates I would interview. And when he was here with Vrabel, you know, Rick would go to practice, but he wasn't dealing with coordinators and position coaches. Romeo Crennel was a coordinator, Mike was position coach, and then Mike was the coordinator in 17. But, you know, I'm sure he ran into him, but it's not like they were breaking bread or meeting in Rick's office. But Mike knows him from watching him work and watching him and Bill O'Brien fight for control of personnel.
We've got John McClain with us from GallerySports.com and 610 Sports Radio. John, obviously the Tennessee Titans and the Jacksonville Jaguars will be fighting to see who wins the AFC South and which team will go to the playoffs. Do you think that if the Titans win or lose this game, it will be a deciding factor in how they decide to move forward, whether they start to go for a rebuild next year or whether they decide to, you know, try to bring this core back and just switch out some pieces?
Michelle, absolutely not. Only a nincompoop would think something like that. But one game would determine an entire philosophy from the offseason. And I know Amy has a lot of trust in Vrabel. It's not like they need help on both sides of the ball. The team that needs help on both sides of the ball is the Texans, especially on offense. They're lucky because they have 11 picks, including two first-rounders, and we're hoping they don't blow the first overall pick by beating the Colts. But I think when you need help on one side of the ball, it's got to start with quarterback. To me, they'd be a good destination for for a veteran. They don't want to draft a rookie and then develop him. You know, after watching Willis make two starts against the Texans, man, think about him being a big-time passer in the NFL is hard to do. But they saw something to like in him, but it looks like they still need a quarterback, and I'd go with a veteran like Jimmy Garoppolo or Derek Carr or somebody like that. But I don't think they'd be going for a rebuild. You'd be doing Derrick Henry an injustice. As long as he's there and he's healthy, they're capable of beating just about anybody. You just got to get a quarterback that can work that play action like Ryan Tannehill did. And taking away A.J. Brown, I remember when they made that trade, I was about 5 miles from NRG Stadium, and I could hear the Texans cheering in the draft room because they were so happy that Brown was gone because he had torched them ever since he came into the NFL. And whether Burks turns into that receiver, who knows? It's still early. You can't count anybody out. But between free agency and the draft, if I were them, I'd be spending a lot of picks and signings on offense.
If Ryan Tannehill comes back healthy, you know, in the offseason, would you stay with him or do you think you would still move off of him?
I'd move on. He's got that big cap figure, I think. He's been hurt too much lately. They got as much mileage out of him as they could. John Robinson made a terrific trade getting him from Miami. But to me, they need to look forward because say they bring him back and then he has an injury-plagued season again, and if they don't fix that offensive line, that's definitely could be an issue. But I'm looking for some new blood. I want to energize the fan base, all the ticket holders, the suite holders, the sponsors, and everybody. And usually, like here, I think that's going to be with a new head coach and a quarterback like Bryce Young, and people will be pumped about it, even though the Texans have been awful. But sometimes you've got to give them that shot in the arm and the place to start as a quarterback or head coach, and they're not going to be changing head coaches there.
Yeah, real quick, John, is Lovie Smith going to keep the job in Houston?
No, I think Lovie's going to be fired because his offense was terrible. He coached the defense. Pep Hamilton was terrible, and it'd be really hard to get a proven coordinator and play caller to come in here knowing Lovie Smith could be fired one more year.
Interesting stuff. John, good to talk to you. Happy New Year, and we will do it again very soon.
Thanks, John.
Tracy. Thank you, Michelle and Chase. You guys have a happy new year, too.
All right. John McClain, GallerySports.com and 610 Sports Radio, the legend, covered the NFL for a long time. Obviously, the Houston Oilers knew Floyd. One of my favorite memories was sitting at the NFL Combine and having lunch with John and Floyd and just not saying a word, just listening to stories the whole time, and it was awesome. Coming up next, we'll react to some of the things you heard and DeMar Hamlin. As we continue here, Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.